WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ooh.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with one of the most emotional WrestleManias of all time. Number 30 is in the books, and I'm sure everyone is going to have some fairly strong opinions on this one. I am predicting a very interesting night on the show, to say the least. And of course, I am the be-all, end-all of our little network, the Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Tonight was either the greatest night in the history of our sport or the moment that so many people got pissed off. They walked out of the arena, they demanded refunds on the WWE Network, and it was the nail in the death of professional wrestling.
All those things depends
on who you talk to.
Which we're sorry to report that means Eva Marie did not win the Divas title tonight. I'm sorry.
What?
I know lot of people were really upset over that.
Oh, seriously? Seriously? She didn't win?
Sorry, Rock.
Kane Kin's not going to cry in the corner.
And of course, butting in, as usual, we have the one and only, Tim Stein.
Yeah, that's me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WrestleMania 30 edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Before we kick things off, a couple of weeks ago, when I still had internet before it went down and shit like that, we did a 10-year retrospective of WrestleTalk Radio. Got a couple of facts wrong, slightly incorrect, and well, you know, as they say, one thing leads to another. All of the factual shit that really went down over 10 years will be listed in the historical archive section of the WrestleTalk Radio website. So, any corrections that need to be made will be listed there.
Yes. Which you can which you can visit right now, WrestleTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, the site is it's still a soft launch because things aren't really finished yet, but they're coming along.
The one thing Tim hasn't finished yet isn't done yet, so.
Yeah, because it's a very long and involved thing. Let's face it, when I write novels, I don't write press releases.
Right. So Tim, can I use that as my fail of the week?
What, me having to write novels instead of working for Omega?
Yes.
See, I snuck it in there anyway.
Yeah, you got it in there anyway.
No, you can't use that as your fail of the week.
Damn it.
We're going to do something a little bit different with our fail of the week, though. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the Hall of Fame. But right now, I have to answer a phone call, so I'll be back in a moment.
Convenient timing. He gets a phone call right here on WrestleTalk Radio.
Yes. Well, it's my son calling, so hang on.
I know. I'm taking over, Tim. Shut up. So, as Tim mentioned, we're doing something very different with the Fail, Win and Fail. We're talking about the WWE Hall of Fame that we all sort of watched last night on the WWE Network.
Sort of watched.
Like, we were sitting here playing cards, right, Omega? And we just stopped, you know, talking and playing for a while. When a certain guy showed up and we just went silent. You heard dead air on the stream for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Sorry for anyone who was actually listening. But let's kick it off. Win it. What's your win from the Hall of Fame? I'll start with you, Omega.
Probably the win from the Hall of Fame. My favorite part of the whole thing was the stories DDP was telling of Jake. The snake that got loose in the house, and just the way DDP just sold that story. Just ear to ear grin. I can see, because I could completely see it happening, and it was hysterical to listen to.
It was. It really was. What about you, Mace? What is your win?
Jake Roberts' speech. It was the story of a life of a man who is in love with the business, going through all the things that had cost him, the demons that had been created because of the business, finding his way back and standing in front of his peers accepting a Hall of Fame induction. Absolutely brilliant, absolutely magical, a story that every professional wrestler needs to hear.
I would agree with you, and if you haven't heard the speech by the WWE Network, you can watch it on demand right now. For me, the win was a two-parter for the same induction. Kane's induction of Paul Bearer and The Undertaker coming out at the end of the introduction to do the pose with the urn. Basically, Paul Bearer's induction was my win from the Hall of Fame.
It was an extremely classy moment, I'll give them that.
It was.
Like, we were all wondering what would happen, whether The Undertaker would be involved in some way or another, and to close it with him posing with the urn and the tribute photo on the screen was just perfection.
It was a callback to the tribute he gave on Raw a year prior. Very nicely done. Alright, I think I know what everyone's fail will be. Maybe. So, Omega, you're up first.
Mama, Mama, God, Mama, Jesus, Mama, God.
Hallelujah.
God, Mama, Jesus, Jesus, God, Mama's womb. God, Mama, Jesus. My God.
And repeat. You just gotta put that on.
Just
repeat.
Loop that for the next 5, 10, 15. How fuck long did he go on?
30 something minutes.
Oh my God. We didn't even make it to the A team.
No, we got to like 1984 where he recorded a song and then we thought, okay, we're going in a great direction. Then he said he dedicated to his mother and we were back on his mother. It was,
God.
It's one of those moments you had to be there a lot.
Fucking Hallmark hasn't said as many words about mothers as he did.
And they've said a lot. Alright, Mace. Do you agree, or do you have something different?
Mr. T loves his mama! Jesus put Mr. T on the earth through his mama womb! I love my mama! I swear to God, we didn't need to go to church this morning. Motherfucker was preaching.
To what he does. It really is what
he was
does.
Preaching. I swear to God, there were actual preachers going, God damn it, Mr. T, leave us something for Sunday morning.
That's a good point, yeah. I agree. It was Mr. Even though it will probably be the most memorable spot of the night, he was the fail of the Hall of Fame. Without question.
The reason he's the most memorable. It's like the Shockmaster being the most memorable entrance.
Well, it's like he just kept going on and on. He didn't even pity a fool.
I know.
Throughout that entire fucking speech, we had the fool counter on standby. Didn't even go off once.
I think it was it was going to be the finish that he never ever got to. For those
we
who
got one false trip when Lawler had to use the line.
We did. For those who did not see it, as he talked about his mother and God and his womb, or her womb rather, for 30 minutes, Kane actually had to come out and, well, tell him his time was up.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant. You know, let's bring out somebody who's affiliated with satanic imagery and fire and, you know, hell and everything to tell the guy preaching about God his time is up.
The devil's favorite demon.
It is why he is the director of operations. He's got to get stuff done. Tell you what. Oh, man. So, all right, those are the win and fails, and we'll get Tim's here whenever he stops subwaying us and joins the show. Let's actually talk about the Hall of Fame and beyond win and fail. What were some other highlights for you guys?
Similar to Jake and DDP, I really liked a lot of the stories Lita was telling.
She had props.
She had props.
She had a bobblehead.
She had a bobblehead, which go to the archives somewhere. I made that joke a long time ago. And it just reinforces it so well that, you know, she found out the day she was going to go autograph the thing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's been listening to the show for the longest time and is a fan of Omega.
Might be Omega's biggest fan.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure she loves me at this point.
You never know.
If every word I've said is true, she's got more venereal disease than James Bond, okay?
But, man, did she get fucking booze when she pretty much slammed the mask down on the little podium?
I don't know.
The crowd did not like that one bit.
See, I'm not sure about that.
Or would it be the fact that she stole the mask?
No, I think it's because from reading Twitter and stuff during the Hall of Fame, they shut off the screen, and no one could see.
Oh, okay.
That's why they started booing a lot, because they shut off the screen on her.
Wow.
Or they were having.
I actually stayed away from Twitter during the Hall of Fame.
The people,
I stayed away from Twitter for most of tonight too.
I'd be smart too. But yeah, they were having issues with the screen for the live people. So she had the bobblehead. She had beer for Arn and Rey Mysterio, and Arn was stealing the beer for a while.
Oh, that was. I hope somebody screenshotted that, because that was an awesome moment.
What other props did she have?
Just that.
The mask.
No, I think it was the bobblehead, the mask, and the beers.
Oh, and Trish.
And Trish. Well, I wouldn't exactly be calling Trish a prop, but.
Well, she was the waitress, I guess.
Yeah. She did bring over the wheatgrass shots.
They did have. There was the other thing, wheatgrass shots. So we had Lita mentioned DDP.
Yeah.
No. This year it was the WWE Hall of Fame brought to you by DDP Yoga. It was just about everybody got a damn plug into it.
That's a part of the lawyers that made me laugh, is how he was starting to make fun of how much he heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Even the Warrior gave it a plug.
All right, let's stop right there. Let's talk about Warrior. We understood every single word.
Let down!
He was so gracious and courteous and professional, and it was such a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get a scrunk.
We got a scronk.
We got a scronk, that's something. And he did take a poke at the Vince writing him a check.
He did.
He was actually quite amusing. Like, I wasn't expecting him to really, like, sort of throw some jokes out there and stuff like that, but for what it was a lot better than what we were expecting.
It was. Even Linda cracked a joke on it.
Warrior used to call her mom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that just brings up scary, scary images.
And she tells the story how in 96, when he came back, she was the only person to deal with Warrior, because, well, why would we want to deal with Vince? So Warrior would call her up and just rant.
And she'd put the phone down, put him on loudspeaker, and turn it down as low as it could go, and she could still hear him.
Yeah, she muted her and lowered him, and he just went off.
Warrior's speech was at least interesting.
Uh-huh.
A lot of what I heard sounded like he was being very defensive of things he's been criticized about in the past. But
including the DVD.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, because in a lot of people's eyes, at least in the younger fan base, that's all they heard about him, was what's on that DVD and the stories that all the negative stories that have been out since. So it's understandable that the guy would get defensive on pretty much the biggest stage that he can get a hold of with the people that were relevant in that subject.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, like, the things that didn't quite go exactly as planned, Kalito, way to fucking burn that bridge and bury your brothers in less than fucking 15 seconds.
Yeah.
His brothers aren't performing in WWE right now. What do you mean?
they're under some sort of mask thing that, you know, they might end up being eliminated first out of a tag match or something.
Yeah. All right, so they gave their win and fail, and so we'll throw it back to Tim since he's now back.
I'm back, yeah, I apologize, everybody. I wasn't intentionally pulling a subway from CB Radio midnight-ish on Saturdays right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network,
exactly.
By the way.
Which he did last night. He did put us on hold.
But the difference is that was my son calling. He's just getting home from the hospital, so.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you can understand that I would put you guys on hold and defer to find out why my kid was in the hospital.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay. Oh, by the way, in case it was, what was the, he played a playoff hockey game today and got slashed on the finger and it might be broken.
Wow.
No big deal, just so you know.
just a small boo-boo in hockey terms.
Put some dirt on
basically, yeah. And he and I were talking about it. He got slashed in the first period of the game, in the first 10 minutes, and he played the entire game. That's, you know, proof that he's Canadian.
Exactly.
He
so
played the entire hockey game.
Just, you know, rub some dirt on it. He'll be fine.
There you go. So you want my win and my fail for the Hall of Fame, do you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, with the win, there are a few things that could affect. I mean, Taker coming out and doing the tribute to Paul Bearer, holding the urn up to the image, that would be a win. I didn't hear what you guys picked.
Mine was Kane and Taker, Omega, and it was DDP's speech, and Mace was, yep, Jake Roberts.
Okay, well, you see, yeah, my win for last night for the Hall of Fame, definitely Jake Roberts' speech. I mean, that's absolute proof as to how incredible this guy was at cutting promos. He captivated you. He pulled you in. He held you. He gave you the whole sob story before explaining how it turned around for him. And it's just the delivery, and you know, I was a smart ass last night while we were watching it and said a couple of things. But I've got to pick that as my win. It was either that or Mr. T and his speech.
That was everyone's fail.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would have picked that as a win because it was such a fail, it was a win. You know what I mean? You know,
said it was a fail, but it'll be one of the most memorable things we remember from the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying my dog is so ugly, it's cute.
Gaga.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But, my fail is Kane coming out and interrupting Mr. T.
Why?
Well, it's just, you know, I understand why he came out, and yeah, you know, Mr. T needed to, I don't know, I really hope that he likes his mama. I really hope that Mr. T looks up to his mother. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to hear it because Kane interrupted him.
If Kane didn't come out and interrupt him, we'd still be hearing about Jesus and his mama right now.
Yeah, well, I'm just waiting for the day we hear about Mr. T's mama making bread for Jesus. Yeah, I don't think that's happened yet, but I'm sure that when it does, we'll all know about it.
Adam, Eve, and Mr. T's mom, so.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the reason why I say it's my fail is just, it's a crappy thing that has to, it had to happen. But it was just a crappy thing. Whenever you get interrupted like that, on what is supposed to be a really big night for you, it's just crappy.
Right.
That's why I picked that as a fail.
And before we go to break, Omega, we had a Hornswoggle and a bull.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a backstage segment at WrestleMania, as a laugh, because we had the obligatory promo for the toys backstage, where everyone gets a cameo.
Yep.
As a backstage little bit like that at WrestleMania, that would have been fine. That would have been like a little bit of levity. Because, the idea of Hornswoggle versus El Torito is hysterical. Not at the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, but I'm gonna ask you, Omega, what happened immediately before that? It was Jake's speech, and that thing got heavy, right? Don't you think that maybe they needed something to, just lighten the mood the tiniest little bit?
It's the Hall of Fame. It's supposed to be heavy.
Well, yeah, but shit got real. That's just what I'm saying.
How about this? I could have done without the jackass moment of ramming into Jerry's crotch.
Jerry's nads.
Give him credit.
Poor guy will never be able to have kids. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a joke about, have you seen the girls that Lawler's been out with? They're not even old enough to have kids.
Yeah, I was almost waiting for somebody to say that, but...
Poor Brian Christopher.
Anyway, is it time we take our first break of the evening?
Yeah.
Everybody, you're listening to WTR tonight, Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back on the other side of this quick little timeout, and we are going to start taking a look at what took place at WrestleMania 30 down in Nawlings in the Silver Dome.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest, you can beat the world. You can beat the war, you can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world's gonna know your name.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right. I was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a segue. Plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, no. God. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick...
going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I seen him chewing ash, and I was, like, all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. as luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good. I would have picked him if I had seen him.
I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks that I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team list title's on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Free Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God!
Get out! I believe he changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
Jay. I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like... bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tell me where to go, tell me what to do. I'll be right there for you. Tell me what to say, no matter if it's true. I'll say it all for you, for you, for you.
I used to be the type of kid that would always think the sky is falling. Why am I so differently wired? Am I a Martian? What kind of twisted experiment am I involved in? Cause I don't belong in this world. That's why I'm scoffing at authority, defiant often, flying off at the handle at my mom. No dad, so I am non-compliant at home. At school, I'm just shying awkward, and I don't need no psychologist trying to diagnose why I have all these underlying problems, thinking he can try and solve them.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network for WrestleMania 30 Review Night. Right here. And, oh my God. Whoever thought one match could cause such a kerfuffle?
Damn that battle royal with the Divas.
I'll tell you, you know, just because AJ Lee retained the title does not give you reason to walk out of the event.
Kane Kinnan started the movement. He wanted Eva Marie to win. He wanted Eva Marie to be the champ. Red is everything.
It's the Kane Kinnan's movement?
It is the Kane Kinnan's movement for Eva Marie. Yeah.
You're getting told, Rock.
Hey, he's the one who wanted to start a Twitter dedicated to Eva Marie and her winning the title about 3 weeks ago. Facts. That's all I'm saying. Facts.
Well, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be one of the most talked about WrestleManias for a long time. Definitely not the worst one ever.
It was, I mean, it was shaping up to be one of the best ever.
It's still going to go down as one of the best ever. I mean, let's face it, it's going to take a few days for emotions to subside because it was a very emotional night. And all this proves with all of these people reacting the way they're reacting, a couple of our listeners are pissed off, and I can understand and relate and empathize, and that's great. And that all that means is that you're passionate.
Uh-huh.
And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. You have to realize in this world, things are never, ever going to go your way all the time. You're never going to be able to say, everything happened the way I wanted it to happen. Because life doesn't work that way.
Especially not in pro wrestling.
Especially in pro wrestling, or if you're lecturing your 15-year-old kid. But
or we should correct that, sports entertainment.
Yeah, okay, sports entertainment. There you go.
I get those words right.
Again, it's a show. I mean, I might as well write a nasty letter to Game of Thrones and let them know how pissed off I am that they killed off Neddard Stark at the beginning of season one.
Tim, people have petitioned the White House over the How I Met Your Mother finale.
Okay, you see, and this is the age of entitlement. You know, everybody with a sense of entitlement figuring they should have things their way and not work for it. I don't know how that ties in. I just felt like, you know, trying to.
Tim's son, if you are listening, that was directed at you.
Yeah, Owen, get your finger iced and then go to bed because you've got school in the morning.
All right, let's get into this, Tim.
Let's actually take a look at it. Of course, things kicked off with what they call the pre-show. The pre-show. It was the tag title.
Two match. Fucking hours.
It was 2 hours. The pre-show was 2 hours.
I was awake at 7 o'clock in the fucking morning.
I'm glad I'm not in Australia.
Fuck you, WWE.
That said, they did a great job with it.
Now, it wound up, they made it an elimination title match, did they not?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, they built it up in the pre-show. I don't know if Omega, how much of that did you see? You had to get up at 5 o'clock p.m. to watch the pre-show.
Oh my god. You don't know what it takes to get me out of bed before 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Really don't.
I know. There was Shawn Michaels was on. You had Shawn Merriman, Mick Foley, Booker T, Alex Riley, Trish Stratus on the pre-show. Shawn came out originally when Jimmy Hart, I should say, as well, was in there. His line when he was introduced: "I wasn't supposed to be here, so I'll sound very unprepared." To start off the pre-show.
Nice to be honest.
He was honest. But as Tim was trying to get to, and I derailed him, the match. It was elimination tag. Now, who was in it, Tim?
There were tag teams in it.
It was the Usos defending against the Real Americans. Los Matadors and Red Baxel, who have a combined theme now.
Not a good one either. Just telling a friend about this while we were watching this. I am so fucking tired of these mongrel tag teams getting themes of just mixing their themes together. Are we really concerned that we're not using Curtis Axel's theme music?
Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah. I guess people wanted his theme like they, I don't know, they do for everyone else. Hey, we didn't need the Big Show's and Miz's theme combined, but we got it. So,
does that make it acceptable, Rock?
The only time it has worked in recent history has been with Goldust and Cody.
I don't even like that one. I kind of like Edge and RKO's.
That one actually mixed well.
That one actually kind of worked. I know, the Rhodes Brothers theme sounds like Goldust theme with some kid screaming like this really high-pitched, you know, whiny cover of Cody Rhodes' theme.
Which is basically what Cody Rhodes' theme is anyway.
But more so.
It's a high-pitched cover of itself.
All right, so let's get into this match. It was the four teams we mentioned. Los Matadores were eliminated first. When Swagger made one of them tap out, don't know which one it was, can't tell them apart.
It was the guy with the mask over the top half of his head.
Oh.
It was the Mexican one.
Mexican one?
Yeah. The guy that came into the ring with the little mini bull coming out.
The bull was red tonight, by the way. Not white like last night. I thought it was red.
There you go. Red bull.
Red bull. Surprised they didn't work.
And he didn't have wings. I'm disappointed.
Red Bull is only good when you mix it with vodka.
I know.
Not that I promote drinking, but what the fuck?
You promote drinking. Anyway.
Yes.
Whatever. We then had, what's his name? No.
What's his name? The guy in the ring?
The guy.
Yeah, yeah, him. He was good.
Cesaro took out Ryback. So Ryback's always eliminated.
Fuck me, Cesaro! Uh-huh. Tonight was the night to show you can lift heavy things.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get there.
No, I'm talking about fucking Ryback. Launching him in the air and then, you know, fucking uppercut.
Good fucking lord. Because you know Ryback sandbags like shit, so.
Yeah.
You know he was throwing as much as he could.
He was. And then the match actually got really interesting and really intriguing when it was down to the Usos and the Real Americans. We had a double dive at one point. You had them do We the People and then Uso. The crowd was really into it.
Yeah, that's what happens when you bring it down to the two better tag teams in the division right now.
It's hard.
The crowd got into it, and they actually enjoyed shit. Whoa!
It's still just to me hard to fathom that Jack Swagger would be considered part of anything good. Sorry, I just had to say that.
Well, 3/4 of the match was good at that point.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was driving home from work when the pre-show started, so I didn't get a chance to see any of this. So I'm just listening to you guys to find out whether or not I should, you know, find it and watch it on replay.
Oh, the most entertaining part about Jack Swagger is his haircut,
and that was from Monday. No, they had a really good match. It is worth going out and see. They started off the night right with this match. It was a really good match. Everyone sort of shined in it. And in the end, Cesaro got pushed into Swagger, and then the Usos laid out Cesaro and hit a double splash, and the Usos retained the titles.
Yay!
But that's not where the story was. As Cesaro was down, Swagger actually put him in the angle lock for a minute before Zeb pulled him off. And then, well... There was a little bit of a word exchange between the two, and I don't think there's any more Real Americans, Omega.
Swagger went for a swing, so, you know, that's pretty much it.
He went for a big, giant swing from Cesaro.
They've been teasing this for a while now, but I guess they kind of changed plans for WrestleMania and decided to hold them together at least that long.
And piss everybody off as much as possible, so let's give them something to cheer about.
See, Swagger needs to learn how to do a hug properly. Zeb was telling him, go and hug him, not hug his ankle. Hug Cesaro, not his ankle.
He needs lessons.
That was miscommunication there.
He needs lessons from Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Oops.
Indeed. They need to go and see Dr. Shelby.
Dr. Shelby. Yeah.
Yeah, like Shelby really helps.
No, he sort of.
Well, actually, when you think about where those two have gone to since, you know, Kane is now director of operations for the WWE, and Daniel Bryan is, well, where he is right now.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the main event picture.
He's in the main event picture.
Spoilers! Maybe not. Maybe he never even made the match with Triple H. He may never have.
Maybe
even
he was just
up.
A curtain jerker tonight, Tim.
Hey, you know, it's possible.
Yeah. So, we've seen the end, basically, of the Real Americans, and the fallout will be on Raw on Monday. Then we got into the actual show, Tim, and I'm just going to say it one word: goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Why? Because,
I like those
brother.
Books.
Yeah, four icons, brother. Three of them were in the ring, brother. The fourth one was at the commentary table. And I'm sick and tired of doing that voice. That's enough of that crap.
Well, that
but yeah,
nice
our time
to should have been... It's nice of you to include Ricardo Rodriguez in that.
Mm-hmm. JBL, you lisping bastard.
Anyway.
Even though you don't lisp.
So we should start out with Hogan coming to the ring, sees the host, you know, talked, you know, then, well, kind of screwed up his lines.
Yeah, that's why I said going to a quick talk about WrestleMania 30 from the Silver Dome.
I know, we got that.
It's welcome to WWF, I mean WWE WrestleMania 29, 30, 18, 16, 8, 1.
I wish they could get the F and F. Back in
yeah, can I get another win? Them calling out the World Wildlife Fund.
Can't believe he got. What was the name of the lawyer?
Jerry McDevitt.
Yeah, I can't believe Jerry McDevitt had his ass kicked by a bunch of
pandas.
By a bunch of pandas.
Okay, that should have been everybody's win last night.
I forgot about that for a minute.
It
was fucking great.
Yeah, so
I just remembered that. Okay, I'm changing my win. That's my win.
And the fan and the fans were chanting F.
That was sweet.
It really was.
We have boiled that down. Now we can get a one letter F chant going.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the height of laziness. I mean. Yes, it's three letters. I mean, and it's one word. Talk about lazy. But no, we had to actually, you know, dumb it right down. You know, the movie Idiocracy. Let's chant one letter because we're too lazy to spell a word.
Well, yeah, that's where we're at this point. Education is tremendous.
So, 10 steps to do something should only take you two. Yeah, there you go.
So Hogan's in the ring talking things up like Hogan does. He finally realized where he was at and the crowd.
I mean, Superdome, brothers.
Realized where he was.
He realized where he was at.
Finally,
like he had dementia there for a little while.
Well, he is getting up there.
He's going on, and then the glass breaks. You had that queued up.
Uh-huh.
You had that ready. Uh-huh. That was impressive.
I know. It's called being a producer.
Out comes Austin.
And just the moment you see them in the ring together.
And their stare down.
And then he asked a question. Do you want
Before he even opens up his mouth, the stare down. Did you guys miss Austin biting his lip to keep from breaking out into a shit-eating grin? Did you not notice that?
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, holy fuck, I'm in the ring with Hogan, man.
Austin, the entire weekend he's had to try and bite his lip from fucking bursting out into a shit-eating grin or laughing or something.
Yeah.
He was happy this weekend, man.
Oh, he was just like a pig in shit.
Right. Then he asked the crowd if you want to see him open up a can of whip-ass on Hulk Hogan, and they all said,
"Hell yeah!"
And then he talked about the moment, and you know, it was cool. That
and he talked about WrestleMania 1.
Yeah,
And WrestleMania 2.
Let's not repeat that.
And WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, no.
What? And then.
So you thought, okay, you got Austin and Hogan. That's all. That's cool. That's going to be a WrestleMania moment.
And we're talking in the chat room. Watch The Rock show up.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
And our producer said, he'll be there, Omega.
I did.
Now play the fucking music, you ding-dong.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
There you go. And Sir Rockin' shows up. I mean, The Rock showed up.
Exactly. He showed up. And...
finally!
Keep going.
No, that's all I know.
That's all you know. See,
that's all I know.
Now you've been dumbed down to one word.
It was finally The Rock is back in New Orleans. Finally, The Rock is back at WrestleMania. I think there was another pop in there, another pop for some reason. And then it was finally The Rock. And finally, The Rock is back at the Silver Dome, going straight at Hogan.
we should mention
well, look, it was Stone Cold going, yeah, it's great to be back here at the Silver Dome. And then Rock, very deliberately, Super Dome.
Mm-hmm.
It honestly played so well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was intentional.
Now you know that it wasn't intentional. It's just these guys.
I know. It was real. It was in the moment, and it was even better for it.
That made you think it was. Exactly. Yeah. Right. And it was just priceless when Hogan finally just gave up and he leaned on the ropes. Yeah. All right, I fucked up.
I got it. Take shots.
I feel like that every now and then on this show.
Well, anyway, there's a shot right there comparing you and Hogan, brother. But.
Speaking of shots, I took a really good one earlier in the show.
Did you?
Yeah, the audio on the WWE Network pre-show sounded like Tim and JJ.
JJ bottoms up. And what did I say? F you.
If you really want me to dig it out, I can dig it out.
No. The audio was great live. It's the archive crap that we had to steal from Network or whatever.
You know, the audio was live in that if you were in the room, it sounded great.
It sounded great.
Like you were right there.
You weren't with us back then, Omega. Hush.
Yes, I was.
Not for all of it.
No, I remember Bottoms Up Sports Pub and Mark the Shark DiCarlo.
I have to admit, doing the pay-per-views of Bottoms Up was really fun.
So,
and you got free drinks.
Yeah, I had a lot of free beer.
He always does. Now he has to make his own.
I don't make beer.
You make your own alcohol. Anyway.
Moonshine.
That's why you have to make it now, because, well, no more free stuff.
Because Bottoms Up is closed, man.
Anyway,
now you make your own alcohol and ice cream. So The Rock entertained like we all thought he would and did a hell of a job, and now we have a new hashtag, RockBabies. Because people were having after WrestleMania, they were all charged up after seeing The Rock. And the coolest
mental images, I don't know.
WrestleMania, the birth rate goes up. Yeah, he did say that.
Wait till next January. There'll be plenty of Rock babies.
There you go.
Suddenly, Dwayne's a really popular name in America.
Right.
How'd that happen?
But the coolest moment was they all did their catchphrases one after the other after the other.
Oh my goodness. Omega, are you playing with Legos?
Hey, some of us deal with tragedy in different ways.
So the answer is yes, you're playing with Legos.
Yeah, we've heard it, Omega.
Yeah, Legos.
I guess the image of Rock, Austin, and Hogan having beers in the middle of the ring, that was a great way to open the show.
Mm-hmm. That was.
Celebration of some very great eras in the company, and at least Austin didn't stunner anybody.
No,
yeah, I have to admit, I'm kind of disappointed that Hogan didn't take the stunner.
He's not...
He couldn't!
Tim.
He'd break in half, Tim.
Remember, to take a stunner, he has to land on his knees.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Of which he has none.
I'm just saying I'm disappointed it didn't happen.
So at this point, all right, we'll stay on this. If you remember back to WrestleMania 23 and Donald Trump taking the stunner, could he have at least done better than that?
No.
A dead fish could take a stunner better than fucking Trump did.
Yeah, this is probably true.
Probably.
Anyway, moving on. It's time to talk about the first match of the night, kids. It's the Curtain Jerker. Match that sets the tone and the pace for the rest of the pay-per-view.
We should mention that's 35 minutes into the show.
It took 35 minutes for them to get there.
Didn't feel like it.
If there's one thing about tonight went very, very quickly. At least the first 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got a few people in the chat room that are really pissing all over the Undertaker match. Don't worry, we'll get there. We're doing this in order.
Yes.
We will talk about it, and we will open up all about it. I've got some things that I really want to talk about for that match. So just bear with us. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
There's an order to these things. Patient children.
We have a script to follow.
But
we'll all get to Mordor at the same time.
Yep.
Alright.
No one simply walks into Mordor.
Unless you're Chuck Norris.
There you go. You know, Bruce Lee had a dog named Chuck Norris.
That's the sound effect when Cam tells a bad joke.
Can we get to the match? I'm not listening
to you.
Can you pick out a match on tonight's card that would have been a hotter open than Triple H, Daniel Bryan?
No.
Absolutely not. And we were all, like, ever since it was announced, like, what, a month ago or whatever?
No.
Well, a couple weeks ago.
No, it's been a month.
Hey, what?
It's been a month.
Yeah, okay, there you go. So, yeah, about a month ago. Problem is, Omega's making so much noise that when you talk, he just drowns you out.
I know.
Yeah, and so I don't hear what you say half the time. And it's not because I'm more than going deaf. It's Omega's fault this time.
Yeah, it's Omega and his Legos. I know.
It's Omega. He's doing it on purpose, a little bugger.
I know. Someone needs to kill his addiction. Tweet him at TJ Omega and stop his addiction.
There you go. Or feed it. I mean, he needs more.
Feed me more.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't be for, feed me more apparently was a movement at some point.
Now, we were speculating, or at least we were saying, I guarantee you, this is going to be match of the night. Whether it was or not, we'll determine that at the end of the review. But I'll tell you, it was one hell of an entertaining slugfest.
Before we get into the match, talk about his entrance.
Oh my god. Who's Ziggy?
Okay, no.
He's a comic strip character.
Yeah, but that has absolutely nothing to do with the photo I passed around. Basically, Triple H came out with a combination of his two set pieces, the big throne, Castle Grayskull was behind it this year. Omega and I were actually disappointed that we didn't get to see it straight away, but it was there.
He gave up on walking through it because it never goes right.
Yeah, pretty much. The whole thing with Triple H's entrance this year, he had the big robe on, and it was all, and it had a helmet with chainmail and a gold skull on the front. So same as his little logo thing that he's been using for the last few years. I'm sorry, but all I saw when I looked at him was Skeletor from the He-Man live-action movie with Dolph Lundgren. For those of you who have never seen it, I would say go and watch this glorious piece of what would be 1980s schlock.
Schlock is a good word.
Yeah. it is so gloriously bad.
You and I are so on the same page when it comes to bad 80 movies, Mace.
Oh, of course. But basically, at the end of the movie, Skeletor goes from a very somber-looking dark outfit to this big gold monstrosity with a whole heap of golden horns and everything. Just go to Google image search Skeletor movie golden or something like that. Those combinations of words will bring up the image I'm talking about. Yep. And that's all I could see when I looked at Triple H. this glorious 80s overdone costume of schlock. It was awesome.
There was that to it. I didn't like Triple H's entrance this time out, but I did like the picture, or the robe and the headdress.
I'm surprised Stephanie didn't attack the girls that were with him.
Which were...
Oh, there you go. King Kitten's just put the link in chat room.
The girls were Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Alexa.
From NXT.
From NXT. Just so we have our facts straight.
Anyway. Can you imagine the conversation afterwards with his wife? Oh, wait, no. That wasn't Jerry Lawler. Never mind.
Wrong person.
Yeah, so he comes out. And, of course, Daniel Bryan comes out with apparently Brie Bella designed designer boots.
He must have lost a bet or something.
Either that or he wanted to make sure that they were, making sure they weren't going to bruise Triple H with the kicks.
Then if that was going to happen, they would have had the fur around the front of the boot, not the back and the sides.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we want to talk about the irony of the former vegan coming out in animal, animal fur.
Oh, come on, it was fake.
Even
you think so.
It was vegan fur.
Vegan fur.
Really?
Vegan fur.
Really?
Haven't you ever seen corn silk? Come on.
Vegan fur.
Vegan fur. Well, hashtag, why not? They make fake hamburgers.
Hashtag vegan fur.
So you're saying the hair on his boots was made out of tofu?
Yep, they were tofu boots.
Anyway, let's get into this match, shall we?
There it goes again. It was a long match for an opening match. It was a good match.
Great match.
It was a damn good match. Yeah,
it was match of the fucking night. Let's just call it what it was.
That's right. It was the match of the night. People are going to shit on it because Triple H was in it. And that's just, you're going to get Triple H haters. That's fine. You don't have to love the guy. But try to be objective and realize that it was good. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you that Triple H cannot carry a weaker worker. But a worker like Daniel Bryan can bring out the best in Triple H. And I think that's exactly what happened.
I think it was just they put two really good workers together and had enough time to sit down and really get into it. Like, when was the last time you've ever seen Triple H chain wrestle?
Yeah, it
in that
been
type
a long
of
time.
Style.
It has been a long time, but when you're wrestling a guy like Daniel Bryan, do you have a choice but to make sure that you chain wrestle?
No, you really don't.
Not really, but a guy like Triple H, who's always played that power game,
yeah,
could have just gone, screw it, every time you try to chain wrestle me, I'm just going to pick you up and beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, and a couple of times he did do that, but he always would go back to the chain wrestling. And it was almost like, well, I can prove, let me prove to you that I actually can do this shit.
We saw him pull out the crossface chicken wing, the
yep.
crossface, as
fucking
well.
Dragon suplex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been forever since I saw that.
Yep. It was a very, very entertaining match. One of the highlights was Stephanie.
Oh, she was fantastic.
Oh, that was great.
she sold it.
Well, yeah, you could almost say that Stephanie was playing the part of HBK this time around.
Yeah, HBK, or Paul Heyman, either one sort
yep.
of works in that fashion.
So, it was very entertaining, very great match. Yeah, you can talk about the running knee being a weak finishing to knock somebody out and everything else like that, but with the accumulated everything else that he did, the kicks to the head, the DDTs,
everything
else like that, you're about to hear from a professional wrestler as far as the high running knee. Go, Mace.
Oh, no, I'm not going to talk on my experience, but... when you take a knee to the face at that velocity, I'd love to see anybody cop that type of knee to the face and get up from it.
Yeah,
that'd be a knock. That's a knockout in MMA.
You do that
in a fight on the street in a brawl. That's gonna knock you the fuck out.
Well, look at what Oksana did to what's her name a few months ago with her knee.
Yeah, you know, you have,
what's her name?
Naomi. You can do all your slams and your drops and everything as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, like a knee to the head, is going to knock you the fuck out. It is legit.
Yeah.
Sure, you know, there's issues that maybe it doesn't seem as a spectacular move, but Brian's never been about the spectacular moves. He's been about hitting hard. That's what he's carrying. That's the whole point of his style. He still wrestles Japanese strong style.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's, you know, you just mentioned a Japanese strong style. I swear to God, it's a dying art form. I mean, Stampede Wrestling was famous for it. I mean, it was all strong style wrestling up here. And a lot of the stuff, other wrestling that was available on TV back then when Stampede was going on wasn't watched here by the fans. Because after you get into strong style, which is what, you know, the American Dragon has always wrestled, once you get into that, seeing any other type of work is just, it's apples to oranges. It's just so pale in comparison. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So it was a tremendous match, a tremendous fight.
Yeah.
And sadly, the Triple H movement didn't happen.
It didn't move in the first place, Rock.
The only movement Triple H needs to have is the one that happens in the bathroom after he has his morning coffee. Cut it out.
Yeah, I was making bowel movement jokes last week.
Yeah, well, I wasn't here, was I? I did that last week. Fine, you win. You did it first.
Sadly, the Triple H movement didn't happen.
That Rock sounds so defeated.
Rock needs a teddy bear to hug.
I do. Oh, my movement ended. Damn it.
Does that mean this is also the end of the reality era? Please.
Please.
It died a morning, kids.
God, I heard Michael Coleman. Someone mentioned the reality era on commentary. I can't even remember who it is because I was too busy throwing up in my mouth.
Hey, listen, I want my reality and I want my wrestling. I don't want them mixed. Christ, that really ties in.
This match, this is the follow that bitches match of the night.
And it started early in the night. And
it was your first fucking match of the evening, technically. On your main show. Yeah. It was the follow this bitches match, and nobody fucking got close to it.
I wouldn't say that. One match in particular did, but we'll get into that. Then he got attacked after the match. Steph slapped him like
three times.
Five times?
Well, no, three times on one cheek and then twice on the other. And Brian just stood there smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Three hits harder than you do, bitch.
And if you don't believe, just watch Total Divas.
So, yeah, he got taken out and injured once again. Chair to the shoulder into the post.
Ouch.
More concern for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, and of course, you knew that attack was going to happen after Triple H loses.
Yeah.
Well, they're pushing the underdog angle so hard.
A little bit too hard, if you ask me. But fine, it's still, even though I think it's a little bit much at times, it's still working. And that's the important thing.
It is.
And, so the match was great. The post-match shenanigans were... I can't think of anybody who could tell me, honestly, they weren't expecting it.
No, not in that environment. Not with Steph right there.
Yeah, especially with Steph right there. I mean, that was sweet. That was great. And let's face it, she plays the spoiled daughter bitch to a T.
Why, she's the billion-dollar princess.
Exactly. And so that was great. Next match of the night pissed me off.
It was the Shield versus the New Age Outlaws and Kane.
Why did it piss me off?
Why did it piss you off, Tim?
It was too freaking short.
I think that was the point.
Well, it had to be, you know, like, especially after going 40 minutes total time with the first match, not including the 35 minutes you wasted on the opening.
Well,
somebody's match was going
to
get cut.
To be fair, they probably lost a good chunk of time just on how many times they were making fun of Hogan for the Silverdome slip.
Yeah, well,
and I don't even think they lost time. I think it was more about Shield domination.
Well, yeah, you know, I made a comment in chat while we were watching the pay-per-view that it was a really short fucking match, but they were really going all out, big time. Mace, what'd you say?
I said something.
When I said what I said in chat, when you got five,
I can fucking remember.
Mace,
you can't remember? That's incredible. When you only get 5 minutes, go hard or go home.
Yeah.
Well, the trick is, it's the New Age Outlaws. There's only so hard they can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a complete waste of the Shield,
okay,
unfortunately.
Let's just stop right calling them New Age Outlaws. Okay? They are no longer New Age Outlaws. They're the Old Age Outlaws by now.
I believe at some point they'll just be calling themselves the Outlaws, but okay. Yeah, this match overall.
Fine. So the Voodookin Mafia is beyond the
and it fit tonight.
WWNA.
this match, you could tell that this match would have been something longer if it wasn't for the opening segment and the first match going for as long as they did.
Well, I think maybe.
But they compressed this. They compressed this down really well, though.
Yeah.
And the
they did a great job with the limited amount of time they had.
And it was impressive. Yeah. Roman Reigns looked strong. Omega with the spear to Kane, and then to both Outlaws.
Yeah. And it's more you can really tell the way the Shield is booked these days. They're really only paying attention to Roman.
And then, go ahead, Tim.
Yes.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, there has been rumblings and ramblings all over the internet for the last 4 months. Oh, WrestleMania is the perfect time to break up the Shield. Do it at WrestleMania. Have some shit go down. Nothing happened. This holds true to what I have been saying to buck that trend. I'm not going to take 100%. Like, I'm not taking credit or any of that shit. I'm just, you know, like...
They abandoned that idea, like, almost a month ago.
And
they're going to bring it back. Well,
go ahead, Omega. You go
look at the posters for Extreme Rules, and they've got one for the Shield. So you know you knew about a week or two ago when those posters were revealed. Yeah, this is going to go for at least another month. Mm-hmm. You know, because we do know the overall plan is to separate Roman Reigns out as a singles competitor.
Eventually it will happen.
Yeah, and okay, WrestleMania would have been a good time to have like a triple threat with the Shield members.
Yeah.
That would have been a really strong match. As it is, this was at the request of
Outlaws.
Yeah, that works.
But yeah, we should talk about the finish. Impressive finish. Roman Reigns and the other two double powerbomb on both Outlaws.
A double triple man powerbomb.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
That was impressively good.
Impressive.
It really was.
And kudos to the Outlaws for selling it.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently Billy Gunn was legitimately coughing up blood afterwards, so...
Yeah.
It's not all selling.
He's okay, though.
Well, kudos to him for selling it to make it look legit. That's all I'm saying.
So the Shield came out and looked very, very dominant.
Which is really good. No, I'm happy that they didn't do anything to bugger up the Shield at the moment. I'm glad that they are, you know, staying with the course, and they're going to keep the three of them together for a little bit longer, because I think there's a lot of mileage left in the Shield.
Especially now they're baby faces.
Yeah, if anything, it was kind of disappointing, just because they are three phenomenal talents, and they really didn't get a match to showcase them as much as they could have. That's really only let down to it. It's, you know, because okay. So this was booked as kind of old era versus new era. Because I won't use the actual terms they used on camera. But that also means that their opponents just really were a couple steps behind them.
Mm-hmm.
not just in age, but in style. I mean, they're just, they weren't going to get a high octane match out of this.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, no, yeah, the only complaint I had about the match was too short. Other than that, it was very entertaining, very well done. But moving on, shall we talk about the next match, guys?
That would be the step in the script, yes.
That would what be, we do.
That would be the thing that we do.
No. Right. Let's just discuss the Captain America movie for the next hour or so.
Oh,
I'm good. Let's go.
doesn't like Hawk make an appearance in this movie?
Falcon.
That's it. I don't know. It's some guy with wings.
Hawk is in the Legion of Doom. You dickhole.
Whatever. Anyway, it's the.
Hold on, Tim. Hold on.
Yeah, okay, you do it. Go ahead.
What? What do you think I'm going to do?
I don't know, but do it. You told me to hold on, so you're going to do something.
It's time to start the party.
Shut that down.
Resistance is futile.
You're going to make him hang up. You're going to make him shake his Legos and then hang up. Cut it out. Play it as the outro tonight. It's the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Nice battle royal.
Which, fuck 28 of you, we're not going to play your entrance.
I got to tell you, the traditional battle royal is just one of my favorite matches. Okay, sure, they started with 28 guys in the ring and had two of them have an actual entrance on TV. But
we didn't exactly have an hour plus to waste on entrances tonight.
That's the gimmick battle royal had everyone's entrances.
So.
They're very abbreviated, yeah, but they all came out.
That was less people, though.
Yeah, it was. So.
But they were retired people that weren't on the payroll anymore.
Yeah, but I tell you, it was a pretty entertaining battle royal for one that was of necessity a little short for a battle royal. You should at least have a good battle royal would give 30 minutes to actually have a really good one. These guys had, what, 15?
Considering it started with everyone in the ring at the same time, and he really didn't have... You know, the ring gets so crowded at that point, you really can't, you know, put on a match that could carry that much time.
No.
You know,
but
I thought the pace was fine, even a bit slow at times.
Well, I thought the pacing was just fine. I mean, once they eliminated the lesser names... all the guys left had a moment, you know, they had their moment to shine, which is, you know, traditional, which is great, and you love seeing that. Yeah. And everybody had their own chance at it, so.
Let's talk about the two moments that really mattered in this matchup. First, Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Kingston. What is it with this guy?
How the fuck do you get launched 20 feet in the air and still be able to find where your feet are supposed to land?
How do you practice that?
This guy,
the guy, he has those fucking magnets in his shoes or something.
I mean, the last battle royal that he did something that he land like right on the barricade.
The Rumble,
No, the Rumble.
No, he's right. At the Royal Rumble, he landed on. Well, he got carried to the barricade by Rusev.
Yeah.
And then leap back. Yeah.
Yeah, this was more impressive than that.
Yeah.
Like, to get launched the way he did and then still land with his feet
on
the
steps.
One foot still on the steps.
I mean, that was just incredibly good. I mean, that was even better than that John Morrison one a couple years back.
The handstand?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it wasn't as big a deal as far as spending 25 minutes on your hands on the outside of the ring before you walk back in. Yeah, okay, 25 minutes. That's a slight exaggeration, Kip. But you get the idea.
I still say Kofi's best one was, hey, JBL, give me your chair.
Yeah, the
and I'm going to hop my ass back to the ring.
Yeah. That was a little silly.
But to your point, Mace, being able to make sure that you land where you're supposed to land, to make to have your foot land on the step.
He had to have a backup plan or something if that failed. Because even when he landed, he stumbled.
Yep.
So he had to have some sort of backup plan, whether it was he lands on his back and puts his feet in the air saying, hey, they never touched.
Which, or, you know, technically would count.
Yeah, because if you look at the spot, it almost does look like he's supposed to just land on the steps.
Yeah. But he stumbled and fell off, so he would have had to have some sort of backup plan for the spot. But that was just insane.
And
you know, you can't practice that. You can't.
You can't.
Not without hurting your legs.
So, yeah, no, that was an awesome spot right there. That was just, like, kudos to Kofi for continuing every time he's involved in an over-the-top. Yeah. Coming out with stuff.
And then you have the other moment where Hulk Hogan picked up the 1,500-pound Andre the Giant and slammed him over the top rope.
No.
That was Antonio Cesaro and the Big Show.
That was Cesaro and the Big Show.
Cesaro can lift, bro.
God fucking damn.
But holy shit. I mean, how much is a show nowadays? 550 pounds?
500.
Yeah, 450, 500, depending on.
Well,
how
once you get there, once you get that heavy, what's 50 pounds here and there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's dinner?
But
at least it is football weight.
My God, Cesaro did what Hogan barely did at WrestleMania 3, plus carried Big Show to the ropes, and the whole thing looked easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a little bit of that was camera angle, because when they showed the replay, you could see that basically he's just stumbling towards the ropes, and it looked to me like Show was balancing himself.
Tim?
Yeah?
Dare you to do that?
No.
Then don't worry about camera angles.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you guys are like, doing that, and I'm just pointing out what I saw, and I'm allowed to do that because.
Okay,
yeah,
look.
It's not the first challenge.
The mechanics of a scoop slam, even holding it something like that, does require the man who's being slammed to balance himself very precariously on the hip. On the hip of his opponent. So, yes, that's a lot of Big Show having to balance just so he doesn't topple backwards and send Cesaro crashing to the mat.
And flattened.
But 90% of that was Cesaro picking him up.
Yeah, I'm not going to dispute that.
Right.
But I'm not going to dispute it.
Yeah, but hands down, one of the most freakish shows of strength I've ever seen in wrestling.
Okay. The only thing that would top that would be seeing him spin Big Show.
I was actually kind of waiting for that.
I was really expecting that.
I don't think Show's ankles could handle that.
Probably not.
At the Royal Rumble 2015, Antonio Cesaro picks up the Big Show while also carrying the Great Khali and Mark Henry on his back.
Yeah, there
you go. Well, see, if he spins the Big Show... Well, see, no, the way it goes is the Royal Rumble lasts about 45 minutes. Cesaro and Big Show started off, and Cesaro just swings Big Show the whole time, knocking everyone out as they attempt to get it in the ring.
By the way, tonight's rotation count, 21 rotations.
There you go.
21 rotations. Yeah, you know what? Nobody picks Cesaro to win this.
He wasn't announced.
He wasn't in the match.
That's why nobody picked him. But when he put Show over the ropes, and it wasn't just a case of he got to the ropes and let him go. He actually, like, gave him some distance. He tossed him.
Yeah, that's a bump that Big Show's never taken.
Yep.
And probably will never take again.
Again. And as soon as I saw that, I said, that's your WWE champion this time next year.
Maybe not this time next year, but if he keeps going the way he is, he will have a belt sooner rather than later.
Yeah. At some point in time, he is going to be just as over as Daniel Bryan. Almost. Kind of.
He's starting to get there. You've seen the Cesaro section signs popping up.
Yep. So.
I don't know. I think the Yes section tonight was a bit bigger.
Just a touch.
Yeah, 75,000 will do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have to say that I was pretty impressed that Cesaro came out on top and won the trophy. Geez, that trophy looked all, when he went to pick it up, looked like it was it weighed almost as much as Big Show.
It's a big ass trophy.
That's a big ass trophy.
Yeah. What's interesting is that we kept saying, well, isn't it kind of apropos for Big Show to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal? And I kept, last week, I kept going, well, yeah, well, too much, so. It can't possibly end that way. But to kind of have an homage to WrestleMania 3 in the finish,
mm-hmm.
and to give a European wrestler the Andre the Giant trophy,
yeah,
I think it's a very fitting way to do it.
Well, you know, when you look at it that way, that, yeah, that's very apropos. I went with the complete obvious and say, well, yeah, Big Show, because, you know, he is, you know, the giant for this
He's
age.
He's big like Andre.
Got the same affliction as Andre had, yeah.
And he went with the one strap tonight in Andre tribute.
Yeah, you actually pointed that out, and nobody said anything about it.
Very subtle, but it was a nice touch.
It was a very nice touch, and it was all black and the whole bit and all that stuff, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, breaking out the WCW gear.
A little bit. All right, next, Tim.
Next! Do we have to talk about this match?
We do.
Is it on the card?
Yeah, all right, fine. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt won, everybody!
Strangely enough,
you're not the one I was predicting on this network would be delusional about the finish of this match.
I'm not delusional. I was kidding.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a bad match.
I enjoyed this match. They told a great story, especially John Cena. John Cena really was good in this one.
When after he put him down, and he was about to do the five knuckle shuffle and the you can't see me thing, comes off the ropes and then and he looks at Wyatt and there he is upside down crab.
Yeah,
and he's like, whoa, and he falls on his ass.
That was awesome.
That was.
It's weird because it's such a silly thing, but at the same time, it's creepy as hell. Just the camera's done like just right so that, you know. In the far shot, Bray's down, he starts for the five knuckle shuffle, he cuts to Cena, and then it cuts back and Bray's already up.
Mm-hmm. You know, and at this point, of course, I was taking my dinner out of the oven, so I missed part of the match.
Well, before we get a little bit more into the match, oh my god, the entrance.
Didn't even occur to me that... the Wyatt's theme is so subtle it didn't even occur to me that it was played by a band. I know it's weird to say, but you know, like, it's just such a mellow theme. You know, there's a part where the song amps up, and I'm like, there's a part where it amps up.
It was originally as an instrumental, and the guy put lyrics to it, and that's when Bray heard it, and we've taken off from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Could have done without the dance performance before it, though.
I got it. It was more for the voodoo theme.
I know. It was to really put over, yes, we're in New Orleans. Yes, these guys are supposed to be from your area. They're supposed to be voodoo witch people.
Right, but they had a great intro. Entrance, rather.
But, mate, see, it's like, usually you're used to Cena getting this big, elaborate intro. This year he was just, yep, it's like I'm on Raw. Just with a longer run.
There wasn't any big elaborate intros this year. Like
Bray's was probably as elaborate as it got, really.
Yeah, there's a couple bands played, and there's some big set pieces on a few, but you know, it's not the Cena Army.
There was no Cena Army, no.
There's no Cena Army. It wasn't Shawn Michaels descending from upon high.
But anyway, the match itself, I thought they told a great story, Omega.
It's a much more methodical, much more psychological match than we usually get. You know, in that sense, you know, again, it's not going to be a full throttle match between these two, but it had such a unique flavor to it that I kind of, you know, the longer it went, the more I got wrapped up in just what they were doing. You know, and it's
the end of it is very Return of the Jedi. strike me down and join the dark side like your father right. before you.
All right. We heard the Canadian in the background chuckle.
I'll never join you! It's just, yeah, okay, leave it to Omega to pull out Star Wars reference to this.
Yeah.
But that's what it... But that's what this entire match was. This was the Emperor trying to get Luke to join the dark side. That's what this entire match was. Like, Bray was all the way through the match, you know. Strike me down, finish me off. Unleash the monster that you really are. And that was the whole story, was Cena having to fight that urge to really just let loose and beat the absolute living shit out of Bray Wyatt.
And Bray played into it. Bray kept giving him objects to become the monster. And the ending had him give him the chair and, you know, threaten to hit him with it. Yeah. Overall, this match was really well done. Finish. Go ahead.
The crowd singing.
The crowd singing and swaying.
The crowd singing, the crowd swaying away. Yeah. Through. You talk about crowd manipulation. This one was a fucking class.
Bray Wyatt was...
You think Bray knows how to work the crowd?
This match took some promoters to school.
He was conducting them.
Yes.
So.
Oh my god! Just again, this shit we don't see anymore. The psychology, the interaction, playing the crowd.
Well, let's just hope and pray that this is the beginning of the return of that type of wrestling.
Who would have thought Husky Harris would be so good at this?
Husky who?
Husky Harris.
Husky who?
Come on, Omega, fix it.
Fix what?
Husky who?
Really?
That's your response, Rock.
Really?
Really? I am not playing your game.
So the finish was John Cena hit the AA.
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
Cena
and
wins, lol.
Cena won, you bastard.
Cena wins, and a certain little fangirl has her heart broken.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now. Cena may have gotten the pin, but Bray Wyatt did not lose.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no shit.
Bray looked absolutely fucking fantastic.
Bray Wyatt is over even with the pin after this match.
Yeah, yeah. Win or lose doesn't matter. He fucking proved himself.
Well, how many times have we said, great, another Cena win, another up-and-coming wrestler buried? We didn't say that tonight.
No, because we said that about 30 minutes later.
Never mind.
But the thing was, and it was brought up in our production chat, no matter what happens, Bray Wyatt won the match. He was in a no-loss situation.
He was made tonight.
Yeah, it was one of those things of you could not fault the guy. You know, sure, Cena got the pinfall, and nobody that I know of was happy with that. Because it made no logical sense at all. And
well, it kind of did, though. I mean, we mentioned it last week. I mean, where do you go from there if you beat Cena at WrestleMania? And the fact is, you really don't. You know, the only logical move was to let Bray Wyatt lose the match so he still has mountains to climb.
Yeah, and I don't think that this Cena-Bray feud is over.
Oh, no.
We've only seen the opening salvo as being fired on this one.
Well, let's face it. John Cena will not be in the title picture for some time to come. He has assumed that elder statesman role that we saw with Austin. Kind of saw it a little bit with The Rock, but he left after a very short amount of time. We saw it with Hogan before he jumped to WCW. We saw it with Triple H. We've seen it with HBK. Okay, you know, I'm getting up there. I don't need to keep winning the title anymore. Let's start putting the younger guys over. We'll lose to a few of them. We'll win against a few of them. We'll go back and forth. We'll elevate them in the meantime. That's kind of where Cena is at after 11 years.
Pretty much.
And I think, you know, you guys are right. This feud is just starting.
Yes. Then we move on.
Oh boy. Anybody want to take a potty break?
No, we're going.
All right. Well,
let's plow through this pile of shit.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Let's pull that Band-Aid right off. Let's go for it.
Yeah, you can't do it in little bits because you got to just like yank it.
Grass.
That's right. Yeah. Brock Lesnar taking on the Dead Man, the Undertaker. Everybody is pissed off. Everybody is stunned. Everybody is in disbelief. Everybody just thinks that's it.
Not everyone.
Well, no, but we'll get there. I'm generalizing.
Right.
I'm just generalizing.
It's like you had a balloon and then you stuck a pin in it.
As a fan, I am extremely pissed off that Taker lost tonight to Brock Lesnar. What about you, Omega, as a fan?
Well, that's the thing. You know, when it happened, you know, I had nothing but even as a fan, I have nothing but shock. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't even angry about it.
Yeah.
So you know, as a fan, I wasn't angry about it. I mean, it was disbelief because I had taken it for such a granted.
Yeah.
You know, like, honestly, I was only half paying attention to the match at this point. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was into my Lego.
Well, you're just like anybody else watching an Undertaker match at WrestleMania. You're
no,
hoping
I'm not.
It's a good no.
No, I'm not, because Undertaker's matches at WrestleMania are usually guaranteed to be one of the best ones. But just on paper, you could tell Brock wasn't going to be one of those good ones, and if only because he's not going to do what past Taker opponents have done and fly off to the ranch and work out the match in advance.
They did, mm-hmm. though.
Really? Mm-hmm. It didn't look like it.
Or that was the supposed plan. He was going down to Texas.
Well, could have fooled me, because that was not one of Taker's good WrestleMania matches.
And well, yeah, Undertaker's a young man and could still go. So
you said that last year, and last year was a really good match.
Yeah, but last year he was up against Punk.
Who?
And
that's what I mean, though.
Punk was
you
really,
could tell.
You know,
could tell that, you know, okay, 5 years in a row, he has these extremely solid opponents that can carry matches. Now, Brock, yeah, might be a big threat. You know he's not going to carry the match, so you know it's not going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't expecting a fantastic match because it was Brock Lesnar. Yeah, I was expecting, okay, well, it's an Undertaker standard. I almost left and went outside for a couple of minutes in the middle of the match, because I figure I'll come back and then Taker get the tombstone and the 1-2-3 and the win, and it's 22-0.
They were telling a decent story, all things considered, with the match.
Let's face it, the best part of the match was Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman was brilliant, as always. But they were showing us that Undertaker is old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's hard to say.
That was the whole build-up to the match. All things end. If you stop and you think about it, a month ago, WWE were telling us that Taker was going to lose.
And then they booked Monday, where Brock put Taker out. So logical WWE booking for you means the guy will get his heat back on the pay-per-view and win.
Usually.
Sadly... No.
Well, the whole story of the match, you know, and the whole build-up, just...
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a surreal thing now that, you know, that one exists on his WrestleMania record.
Yeah.
But that's the whole idea behind it. Like, the story here is not that the streak is over. It's that you know, what happened now that the Undertaker is now capable of losing at Mania?
Well,
you know, was Brock was yeah, that it's the questions it raises is the whole point of
now
ending
what?
The streak. Yeah. You know, what does that mean for Taker? Does he have a future? Is this it? You know, was this a bad night? Was he just outclassed by Brock Lesnar? Because Taker was dominated in this match.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the end.
Well, if you would look at it, you know, he started strong, but as the match wore on, he's, you know, tottering and stumbling around in there, and he's looking like he's had his bell rung and the whole bit, and he's selling that he's not able to keep up with the intensity from, you know, Lesnar, from the Beast.
Yeah, he didn't look like Taker tonight.
He was selling to me, and even after the match was over, when it took him forever to get off his goddamn knee and stand up and stay standing up and not fall down to his knees again.
There was one point in the match where I was just, they had a good shot of him and in his, you know, good shot at looking him in the face when he was going up for the tombstone. And you could see it. Like, that was the first time I really looked at Undertaker and went, okay, now I see his age. Now I just see just how much he has left, and it's not a lot.
And it's not enough.
Mace is quiet.
Yeah, I'm just waiting to hear from Mace about this.
Mace is quiet for a reason.
See...
Say it, Mace. Just go.
Go, Omega. Go.
Me? Really?
Yeah, you.
Okay.
Yeah, Lego Man. Go.
You know, okay. It's a hard pill to swallow. And me as a wrestling fan, yes, it's total shock that they ended the streak. Mm-hmm. You know, that Taker can be beaten. Me as the smart mark that I am, you know, knowing the business. That's the part of me that is angry because, you know, you gave it to a, you know, I've said it multiple times, you know, beating the streak is probably the biggest rub anyone would ever get. It's something that they would carry their entire career, and it should have gone to someone young like a Roman Reigns or a Daniel Bryan who can carry that kind of heat for the rest of their career. Someone who could actually build that from. Not to a part-timer. Not just someone who frankly didn't need it, even if he was going to be there on a full-time schedule, you know. But I get what they were doing, because in the end, it's all story. You know, this is fiction. Sometime, you know, and it's a bitter pill to swallow. But you know what? Sometimes Old Yeller gets put down. Sometimes Bambi's mom dies. That's just how stories go. It can't all be sunshine and rainbows because, frankly, tomorrow, if we went to Raw and they had big 22-0 graphics up, where is the story to that? Because it's what everyone expected. It's what everyone thought, oh, that's obviously that's what it's going to be. Now there is intrigue. Now there is fascination. Now it is not just another win at Mania. Because otherwise, you know, I mean, this isn't exactly a match that had the emotional impact of the last five. I mean, you had Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, the two icons of the WWE. And then you had it again with Shawn's career on the line. Then you had it with Triple H, you know, trying to avenge his best friend. Mm-hmm. Then you had end of an era. And then you had the memory of Bearer. 5 years in a row, these incredibly emotional matches that you needed the Undertaker to win. You know, it wasn't just about the streak. It, you know, there was genuine emotion behind that. There was no emotion to this match. Not like that. So really, there was no reason for Taker to win other than to keep the streak alive. And does that tell a good story? No. In the end, it really doesn't.
No.
You know, now you wonder, is this the end of The Undertaker? Which, you know, at WrestleMania 30, that's a pretty good storyline to carry through.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. Excellent points.
Now, Maze?
Can I... I'll just call this thing for what it was. The drizzling shits. Like, that's straight up honest. This match was the drizzling shits.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the worst Taker matches ever.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did show Undertaker's age. Yes, the loss does have bigger ramifications than people will agree with, but it's one of those things of, while you've created that intrigue's only going to last a little while.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need to follow this up tomorrow night, either with a retirement announcement or something. You know, something needs to be done on Undertaker's side to sell this next part of the story, or else you've just wasted one of your biggest draw cards.
Yeah.
You know, just going back over what I saw in my head, and I was sitting here with a wrestling mate of mine, and we're both sitting there just going, would you just end this fucking thing?
Mm.
You know, like the match itself, like I said, it's the drizzling shits, which I guess works in the grand plan. But at the same time, this is not what you want to see at WrestleMania, especially so close to the main event.
Yeah.
You know, the reaction that it had killed the rest of this pay-per-view, for the most part. You know, there were reports coming out of fans leaving the building because of the result of this.
True story. People were crying in their seats.
Yeah, I had friends on Facebook and Twitter and everything going, well, that's it. I no longer give a shit about this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wonder, is the gamble really worth it? Is the gamble that they've taken with such a monumental storyline idea worth it?
But is it a storyline idea, or did somebody, meaning himself, make the call to say he's had enough?
Well, that's the thing. He might have.
Yeah, hold off on that for a bit, because I'll give you my thoughts on it.
Yeah, we do know that once upon a time he wanted Brock to be the one that ended the streak.
2010.
Yeah, he wanted to, he had wanted to, like, basically walk away from wrestling for 4 years now. Essentially.
Yeah. But I just, I don't know, like this match, like, I want to be angry about it, but I just can't.
Yeah.
It's like the fan in me is angry. The fan in me is disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
The fan in me is heartbroken to see something that has been built up, especially over the last, you know, nearly 10 years.
Yep.
As this big monumental thing, something that has brought us all some of the best WrestleMania matches in the past 5 years, is now gone. It's something that we're never going to see again.
Yep.
You know, you can follow this up with whatever you want, Undertaker versus Sting at WrestleMania next year. No one will give a shit.
No.
No.
I don't see an Undertaker versus Sting match next year.
No. Well, that's the thing. Nobody sees that match now. Nobody sees it.
I kind of still do, because Sting's actively teasing it now.
Yeah, and that's all it is. It's a tease. I'll put it straight out there. People need to give up on Sting getting into the WWE.
No,
he might come for a promotional thing or a Hall of Fame thing. He's not coming in the wrestle.
He's already got an agreement in place with WWE. Don't expect to see him wrestle. Expect to see him make an appearance between now and next Hall of Fame. Then expect to see him inducted.
Well, every indication so far is, if you go by the rumor mill, that he'll show up on Raw tomorrow night, which...
Yeah, that same rumor mill, though, Omega, said that CM Punk was coming out tonight.
To be fair, the sources of that rumor were people who really didn't have any basis for that.
When Punk was
that was wishful thinking, not a rumor.
But there were a lot of confirmed reports that Sting was either signed or close to signed or was agreed to wrestle one match, which was at Mania 30.
31.
He said today at WrestleCon, my new favorite number is apparently 31. So take that for what you
doesn't
will.
Mean he's going to fight Taker.
No.
Yeah. No.
Going back there, you know, I want to be angry at this, but I can't.
Yeah.
This is the thing, like, I don't really know, like, this really put a sour on it, like, this put a damper on the entire pay-per-view for me, because considering what we've got coming up in the main event, I was happy that happened, but at the same time, I was still, you know, going, well, The Undertaker lost.
Yeah.
The streak is over. We've now handed the biggest push that we've been debating on this show for easily the last 3 to 4 years.
Minimum.
To a fucking part-timer.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it was anybody other than Brock who ended the streak, if, say, CM Punk actually didn't leave WWE, or he did come back for WrestleMania 30... to have a rematch with Taker. If HBK came out of retirement to have a third match to retire Taker, would everybody be as upset that the streak ended?
If it went to a younger guy, say a Roman Reigns, I don't think people would have an issue with it because the streak ends. No matter what happened, the streak ending is going to annoy people.
That's going to be an issue. Yeah,
that's a given.
Yeah.
Give it to a young guy, and he would have been pushed to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Have HBK come out of retirement and have one last match with The Undertaker that you know both men will go all out and probably try to kill themselves, giving people a top-level match.
Yep.
If this had been a half-decent match, I don't think people would be as disappointed as it was.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go out the way he should have.
No,
he didn't. That's the whole thing. He went out on a drizzling shit match with a part-timer who's in it for the money, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Now, as a fan,
that's probably where most of the hate and anger lies in that.
Oh yeah, no. As a fan, just speaking as a fan, that has got me absolutely fucking livid to see Brock Lesnar and the streak. That was such bullshit, you know, personally speaking. And, you know, addressing all the people in the chat room who are really at wit's end over the outcome of this match, I hear you. I feel you. I sympathize. I empathize. I get where you're coming from. Now, as somebody who has booked wrestling shows, I'm going to give you the tiniest little peek behind the curtain, which is what we're famous for doing here on WTR. We're just giving you glimpses.
Right.
Do you think that Undertaker would have done the job tonight to Brock Lesnar if it wasn't something he agreed with? Do you think that the streak ending would have ended if Taker hadn't said it's time to hang him up?
I think that's sort of a given.
Yeah.
The only way the streak was going to end would be if The Undertaker said, "Here's my opponent,
mm-hmm.
and I want to end it." The only man who could ever end that would be The Undertaker himself.
Exactly. That's something that people have to realize, and intellectually, I know that they do realize this, but emotionally, it's really hard for people to accept. Now, sticking as a booker, I personally would have pulled a Trish Stratus retirement match. Let him retire with the streak undefeated. The only thing is, and Undertaker said this a few years ago, his WrestleMania matches and the streak became about the WWE, not about The Undertaker. And if you think that WWE picked Brock Lesnar to be the guy, again, you're incorrect. I'm not going to say anything nasty or malicious or anything like that. The fact of the matter is, Taker picked Brock to end the streak. It was Taker's call. It was Taker's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Be pissed off at WWE all you want, but at the end of the day, Taker. It boils down to it was Mark Calloway's call.
Yeah.
All right, can we move the fuck on?
Divas title.
Divas! Hey, titties, let's go.
What did Jerry Lawler say? He was having too much pleasure watching.
I wasn't giving a shit what Lawler was saying. I was looking at the screen.
Yeah, well, you and Lawler both were watching what was going on. It's just he said something that was dangerously close to sounding somewhat perverse. Of course, it's Jerry Lawler, so what'd you expect?
I believe that the quote that you're looking for is, my eyeballs are having a pleasure overload.
Yeah, something like that.
He really said that, really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I've got the quote up in front of me.
Wow. I can't believe you missed that, Rock.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, his eyeballs were pleasuring themselves.
This was the...
Bunch of estrogen in the ring, Mace.
Yeah, look, this wasn't exactly what you would call an awesome match, but after what we had just seen, we sort of needed something to try and bring our spirits and other things up.
Yeah, alright.
But
two things that came out of this one. AJ Lee is still the US champion.
That's what I needed, Mace. Yeah. God, the streak just ended. You know what would make things better? Boner.
Well, you got that and then some. AJ retained her title.
This is good.
Thank God.
And I called it!
She has officially defeated the entire roster.
And apparently, Vicky Guerrero is done.
Hallelujah!
What do you mean Vicky Guerrero is done? What are you talking about, Rock?
Tonight was her final night with the company.
Wow, she's going back to school.
No, she's already in school. She's opening, she's opening a business. Well, end of Vicky Guerrero, the end of an era. We need
the Vicky era.
We need a new SmackDown.
No. Hey, goodbye. Fuck off.
We need a new SmackDown general manager coming this week, apparently.
Managers are still relevant.
Overstayed her welcome by 5 years.
So no more hearing excuse me, except for when Tim says it.
Excuse me?
Exactly.
You'll lose that clip.
Hell no.
All I can say is thank God Eva did sweet fuck and all throughout this entire match.
She was going to get killed. She was going to get killed by Tamina though at one point.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
She fronted up to Tamina like she was such a badass, and then shit her pants and ran.
Then Tamina stood up and like, oh fuck.
Yeah,
pretty much.
You realize she just picked on the biggest, baddest, meanest kid in school.
Yeah.
Oops.
And what was with the Funkadactyls tonight with the fucking Rainbow Bright boots?
Oh my God.
I don't know. Why
are we critiquing so many boots tonight?
Because Lindsay's not on the show to do it for us.
The Rack Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah,
you're such a lazy shill.
You really don't want to miss that show Thursday.
Oh, that's going to be something else. Send it, Lindsay. I know you're listening, sweetie.
It will be a show. That's just where I'm putting out.
Well, she's got 4 days to compose both herself and the show, so.
We've already discussed what's going to happen. So, anyway.
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. Anyway, AJ won and kept her belt.
Who's next? Find out
Monday. The main event.
There's. What?
What? Oh, my God. What?
God. I was going to say there is no one next because she just beat the whole fucking roster.
The person everyone's been clamoring for. Paige.
I don't see that happening anytime soon, especially with Emma just being fresh on the roster.
Yeah, no, Karma's coming back on Thursday to challenge.
I fucking wish.
Yeah, no kidding.
But Awesome Kong, please return. We love you, Kia.
Alright, main event time. Let's get to it.
Randy Orton versus Dave Bautista versus the winner of the opening match tonight, which happens to be Daniel Bryan. Oh, yeah. Everybody's juicing because Daniel wins. But wait a minute. A lot of people are like, I can't be really fucked about the main event because Undertaker lost. Get over it. This was a good match. This was the one you were supposed to pay attention to.
Tim, don't ever try that again.
Exactly.
I wasn't trying nothing. I was just like, drinking coffee and it's stuck in my throat, so shut up.
Yeah, you weren't trying, that was for sure.
You're funny. Anyway, yeah, okay, so there it is. Daniel Bryan, Batista, Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight title.
Got everything you expect in that one. Interference. A brawl. Yeah,
just when we kept thinking they were pushing this a little bit too hard with the underdog thing.
Mm-hmm.
Interference, dirty refs, stretchers, big spots.
Dave Batista's going to win the title, guys.
Everything's short of, you know, like, hacking off one of Daniel Bryan's legs above the knee.
It came that close. I think they went overboard.
They did. They did. After 8 months of not being able to get one over on the authority, I think he's enough of an underdog at that point.
Yeah, after 8 months, we get it, guys. Just let the match happen. But the thing about it is, having Triple H and Steph come out, you know, that story between the three of them is still, you know, it's just starting. Let's face it. It's been going on since SummerSlam, but this storyline is just getting, you know, it's just getting off the ground.
Because now they got to get it off of Brian.
Daniel. And who knows? What's that?
Oh, look, there's a crooked referee in the ring. Oh, look, we're stripping the belt off you again.
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll have maybe they'll have a Diva Battle Royal.
Anyway. Randy Orton looked like he got hurt when he crashed into the monitor on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But that was
Randy got open on that.
Yeah, but it was a nice spot. The powerbomb into the RKO. Nice spot. Through the table. There went your Spanish announce table, if anyone was paying attention.
There was a French announce table. I'm surprised it didn't get touched tonight.
Well, it looked to me like the French guys were invited to the Spanish announce table just to get on TV and then got chased off for the Spanish guys. Am I wrong?
Well, Ricardo tried to save his announce table early on in the show by somebody came over to try and start ripping it up, and Ricardo's got up and pointed to the French one to go over there.
Yeah, get there.
But this match, it was slow to start, but when it picked up its pace, man, did it start really pulling its weight and turning into a really good match.
All three men deserve credit. Really good match.
It was very good. It was more good storytelling overall. If you could put up with the extra, you know, candy coating of the crooked ref and the interference on the outside, it you know, sometimes it gets a little bit too sweet and you get a toothache. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you can get past that, it was more really good storytelling.
Was anyone else waiting for Triple H to, like, rip the shirt off of a referee and put it on himself?
Thought it was under his jacket.
Yeah, that was the other thing. It was under his jacket was the other thing I thought would have happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was happy to see the Sledgehammer make an appearance.
Sledgy was there.
Sledgy was there, and that was good to see, because, let's face it, sometimes you miss Sledgy.
You do, but, you know, even the Sledgy works when you need it to.
Yep.
And then there was the stretcher spot.
He got stretchered out after the powerbomb.
I did like how Orton, as soon as that happened, Orton just stopped everything. Like, fucking kidding me? He's still going?
Well, even during that entire spot, Batista's standing around going, well, what the fuck do I do now?
Uh-huh.
And then he picks up Orton, and for those of you who know how to spot it, you'll see Orton calling while he's down.
Yep.
You know, like, Batista had him up against the railing at one point. You can clearly see Orton calling, let's do this, quick. Start losing the crowd.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Mace, as a promoter, that is the one thing that has always pissed me off, is being able to see the guys call it.
A situation like that, there wasn't really going to be much that they could do to cover it, but...
Well, true, but still.
So, in the end, Daniel Bryan is now the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
No, he's not. He's the WWE World Champion.
But the fans still went,
yes! 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 Yes!
And over and over and over.
And Rock cried and cried and cried.
Like, the Triple H movement ended 3 hours before then. Sad.
When did it start? You haven't even explained this part of it.
When he was put into the match?
No, it was nothing. It only existed in your twisted, goofy little head, and the only reason why it existed was because you were trying to be a shit disturber and stir up shit. So there.
Well, that's what producing is all about.
No, it's not.
So
there.
So Daniel Bryan is your WWE World Champion.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I pointed out that they didn't call it the World Heavyweight title once he won it, a la Rey Mysterio with the World Championship.
I will say, you know, once the streak ended, you kind of knew how this match was going to end.
Well, you're right. Yeah.
At that point, New Orleans would have burned to the fucking ground if Daniel Bryan had lost.
Right after the Undertaker match, I even said to you guys in chat, I'm changing my pick to Daniel Bryan over Batista now. There's no way they're ending the streak and letting Batista win the title.
After tonight, you never put things past them. So that's WrestleMania.
That was. And, you know, when we get into any kind of marking for the show or anything like that, don't focus on one or two matches. Look at the entire show. I mean, this was, for me, it was between a B+ and an A-. It was very entertaining. It had storytelling. It was awesome, even though it pissed you off. That's a good thing to prove, you know, like that a wrestling show, something that isn't, let's face it, it's, you know, predetermined, kids. The fact that everybody on the planet is reacting the way they are just shows everybody's passion for the product, and the fact that the product can still garner those reactions is a good thing. You may be pissed off now. Think about it next Friday and see how you feel. Other than the fact that it was Brock Lesnar who ended the streak, fine. Be upset and disappointed the streak ended. I get it, but I can't. I cannot say it was a shitty pay-per-view. It was definitely not the worst ever. If you think it is, then go rewatch WrestleMania 13. So yeah, I'm going to give it between a B+ and an A-, Mace.
Yeah, this is a B+ show for me. Like when it hit really well. You know, there were a lot of really, really good moments, like some shit that should immediately go on a highlight reel, like Cesaro picking up the Big Show, which is something that, holy shit, I could probably rewatch about 4,000 times and still go, wow. The opening match between Triple H and Daniel Bryan was fucking phenomenal. It was the match of the night, for sure. The unfortunate thing that dragged it down was The Undertaker losing, because it put such a damper on the show. You could see it on the face of the crowd. It really made those last couple of matches really just lose all momentum. You know, so it was definitely really, really bad. Frankly. And I'm going to say this to a lot of people who have been constantly going out and saying, you know, stupid things like, oh, this shits on the legacy of past WrestleManias. The Undertaker match shits on the legacy of the past few years, the last few matches he's had. Get a fucking grip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year was a shit match, but one shit match mm-hmm. does not destroy a legacy.
Yep.
Just because the streak has ended does not mean everything's gone to shit. You know, this is a massive overreacting, and if people want to get up in arms and say, "Oh, this I didn't care about the main event because of the Undertaker losing," if you're letting one match sour your entire experience, there's a whole thing called the WWE Network that can let you go and have happy fuzzy fucking memories as much as you like.
WWE Network is freaking awesome.
Exactly. You know, I'm quite happy to spend my $11.60 a month. That's
oh yeah, but you, would be if you were able to access it in Australia. You mean?
Bullshit. The people who know me know that I fucking find a way around these things.
All right. Yeah. No. People living outside of the country. Can we tell them how to do it, or if they don't figure it out yet?
No.
I'll put a secret FAQ on the website somewhere.
There you go. Yeah. It's really super stupid simple. I mean, hey, you know what? I found Hotspot Shield. It was free.
Again,
it works.
I said no. Let's move on, please.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not telling you what to do.
Shut up. Omega.
Move on.
Omega, grade the show.
You can let one match kind of sour. That did suck the energy out of the last two matches, but let's be fair, one of them was a Divas match, so how much energy are you going to have?
Well, if you Jerry Lawler, quite a bit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's an A-minus show. I mean, it felt like a WrestleMania from, you know, the three, you know, arguably the three biggest names you've ever had in the company in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
You had signature moments like, you know, Cesaro fucking deadlifting the Big Show. You had your big highlight moments like that. You had, yes, you had your shock moments. Yes, and yeah, you can let the whole thing sour, or you can take it for what it is. It's a story. It's trying to lead somewhere. They wouldn't have done it if they didn't know what the fuck they were going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't be pissed. Be intrigued, because this means something huge is going to happen on Raw tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Most of the match. Okay, aside from I'll be pissed off at the Undertaker match just because it was not a good Undertaker match. Thank you, fucking Lesnar. But beyond that, you know, the matches were solid. We got a lot of really good solid performances from Daniel Bryan. Kudos for going, earning your paycheck twice tonight. And yeah, it just. So when he wins, it's such electricity in that crowd, even after, you know, the letdown of Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I kept saying, seeing 75,000 people, it wasn't everyone, because they had started leaving the building. But, like, you know, let's say around 70,000 people all doing the yes chants and the points is... that, you know, something you can put on highlight reels and WrestleMania flashbacks forever. Because it's 8 months of build-up for that moment to occur, and everyone was, it's just such an amazing, it's just that amazing moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
one last thing before we put this pay-per-view to bed and be done with it. I know a lot of us watched on the WWE Network tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, think that they need to see this and see that they need to do something to increase the level of bandwidth that can be put out. A lot of matches tonight, at least on my end, and I can tell you now, it might be my connection, which it shouldn't be, because I'm using the fastest connection that we have in this goddamn country.
But then against your country, and that's not, you know.
It's not exactly significant compared to many others. Mm-hmm. But there were some points where it would have been better off watching a fucking GIF. There were audio issues tonight. There were times where the quality would be clear, you know, almost 1080p, next thing you know, you're watching, you know, 480, next you're watching a pixelated mess.
Mm-hmm.
Their first big show, they handled it quite well. It never dropped out completely. It just, they need to work out some way to free up more bandwidth to get on live pay-per-view nights to get over this little issue that they've had.
Well, they probably need to add another dozen servers to their farm, and they'll be good.
To be honest, like the stream performed really well on my end tonight. I did have the audio issues early on, which didn't seem like a stream problem. It seemed like a technical issue.
That was everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody had it.
Yeah, and for one time where the quality just dipped to shit and it looked like I was, you know, watching some, I was watching some super low grade video from like, you know, 2001 or something.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you know, I didn't have any drops. You know, I didn't have, you know, the quality stayed good. You know, I'm watching on a 50-inch TV, so, you know, I'd probably pick up if it went like super pixelated or anything.
You would if it was on a big screen.
Yeah. I'm with Omega. It was really good. Xbox skips a little, but that's been the norm with Xbox.
Xbox has been skipping since it opened up.
But guess what?
It debuted.
It didn't buffer. The biggest problem with Xbox, it buffers like crazy. Not one buffer tonight.
Well, perfect. So they must have done a lot of work. Because there are a lot of reports all over the World Wide Web tonight concerning the... concerning the network, some people had lost it completely. Some weren't able to log in. Some had absolutely nothing wrong, nothing but smooth sailing. Others were having, you know, like tiny little issues that would last for 5 seconds and then clear up. No big deal.
I think,
like Mace was describing.
I think tonight they would consider this a success.
Now, here's the thing. Tomorrow we find out how many subscribers to the WWE network WWE has. I am interested as hell in that number, because initially WWE was hoping to have 1 million subscribers by next September, I think it was.
By the end of this year.
Yeah, basically by the end of summer. They're hoping to have 1 million subscribers.
By the end of the year, not by the summer, by the end of the year.
Yeah, well, you know, the end of summer is near the end of the year, so it's close enough.
No, it's like six months.
Anyway, it's not 6 months. Shut the f- up.
It is.
It's 2 months. It's two-month difference between September and December.
In Canada.
But anyway.
Anyway, the point is, I want you to take a guess at what numbers are going to give us tomorrow night, Rock.
Tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, 700.
Well, tomorrow.
725,000.
So almost 750,000. What would you think, Omega?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Take a guess.
Omega, that's Mace.
You can't Google it.
You can't Google Mace. What about you?
I'm sitting around the 500K.
Really?
I reckon at least half of their viewing audience would be made up of network subscribers. Yeah. And by the way, to the person in the chat room who's going, I'm going to cancel my subscription, you can't actually do that until the end of the 6 months. You're locked in for another 4 months.
Yeah, just play that one out.
Just go into your settings and turn off auto-renew. Then you'll be out in the next 4 months.
Or until the next pay-per-view when you go, yes, I like the product again. Tim, what's your number?
I'm gonna guess 750,000.
There you go.
I was initially thinking 900,000, but I'm going to back that off a little bit. The thing is, they're not going to take into account all of the out-of-country subscribers who have found a way around.
Tim, they don't host an IP log. It will just have how many views have come in, how many unique IPs have jumped in.
Yeah.
That's how they measure it.
Yeah, no, my point is they're not going to think about factoring that in, because it's going to be total number of subscribers, period. And that's all it's going to be. That could inflate the numbers.
Right, I know. Omega, do you have a number?
600,000.
Right. By the way, I give this show an A minus to an A.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were going to do.
Yeah, we moved past it. One quick thing before...
He was going to give it something high. He's always Mr. Positive.
I am Mr. Positive. Thank you very much. We do pick him, and Ace got the most right, 6-2. We had someone named David Darrington do pick him with us. He went 1-6. He picked Brock Lesnar.
Wow, out of all the ones to pick right, that's the one you got. Fuck. That's like picking the first the first play of the Super Bowl correctly.
Yeah. So, Lindsay went 5-3. I went 4-4. Megan went 4-4. Tim went 4-4. And Mace went 3-5.
Yeah. Well, we can't say it was predictable.
Nope. It really, really wasn't.
Some I'm happy to be wrong at. I like how dominant AJ is.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's how we do that. So that's WrestleMania in a nutshell.
Well, you know, as you know, like what Omega was saying, the unpredictability. As much as I would like to be able to get all the matches right and then lord it over all you and saying, see, look how smart I am. I love it when I'm 50-50.
There you go.
I will say this for the guy who got the 1-6 and picked Lesnar. Okay, official betting odds came in at Lesnar at 12-1.
Should have laid down some money.
Some guy's saying that he bet $20K on Lesnar and won $150.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I believe that's bullshit.
No. So anyway, time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Alright, these are going to be really, really simple. So, Tim, finish this sentence. Brock Lesnar's next opponent will be...
Sable.
In wrestling?
Oh, I was just going to say he's going to climb on top of Sable and make her tap.
I would have gone with 70,000 people in the crowd, but okay.
Alright.
Well, no, that was a somewhat obscure to you, apparently, reference to his... victory in UFC when he drank a Bud Light instead of the Coors.
Anyway, these are two questions.
Did you notice when 21-1 popped up in the screen, what beer was advertised right next to it?
Yeah.
Again, Tim, Brock Lesnar's next opponent will be...
Oh, fuck. Daniel... No. I have no... I can't even think about that.
Pick a name.
The Shield.
There you go. Mace, who will be in the Divas title match next year at WrestleMania?
Divas.
Emma.
You know what? That's the fucking first name that actually popped in my head, unfortunately. But look, to be honest, at this fucking rate, I wouldn't be surprised if it's fucking AJ Lee. Girl seems to be friggin' invincible right now. I wonder if she's trying to beat her fiancé's 400-odd day reign with the title belt.
She may.
Beat Moolah's record.
What is Moolah's record?
250 years.
There you go.
Oh, God. Realistically, I reckon we'll probably have one of the NXT people, probably Emma or Paige, in it next year. I still say AJ would probably still be around. So it's sort of hard to sort of work out who would be in it in a year's time, seeing as we've just technically finished the wrestling year. But, yeah. I don't know. Probably some young chicks with big tits.
All right,
well, you can't go wrong with a prediction like that.
All right, Omega, finish this sentence. Triple H's next opponent will be?
God, I'm trying to think if he'd even wrestle again. Oh, jeez. I'm literally stumped on that one.
Daniel Bryan?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Might as well put him up against a fucking gobbledygooker at this point.
Just pick CM Punk and be done with it.
You know what? I'm just going to say Batista and just be done with it. Because
there you go. All right. Tim, what is the main event of WrestleMania 31?
The World Heavyweight Title Championship.
Participants?
Oh, you didn't ask me that. That's two questions.
Participants?
Fuck if I know.
Just remember, Tim, they've got a whole year to plan this and then fuck it up and change everything in the last 3 weeks.
I know. I hate when they do that. Except for Cena versus The Rock. They could have screwed around with that 3 weeks ahead of time and I wouldn't have been upset with it. But that was a few years ago. I've gotten over it now.
No answer, Tim?
I have no answer at all. I couldn't even begin to guess.
All right, Maze, what is the title match at WrestleMania 31?
Title match at WrestleMania 31 will be John Cena as the World Heavyweight Champion against Kurt Angle in his final match.
There you go. And finally, Omega, what is the pre-show match next year at WrestleMania?
The pre-show.
Who do you want to shit on now?
God. Ziggler and Mitt. No, wait, I did that before.
And you were completely wrong.
Yeah. God, see, that's harder to pick than the title match.
Just throw out two names.
Just throw out two names and be confident.
Yes.
Say Dolph Ziggler and Tamina.
Usos and brought up from NXT, the Ascension for the titles.
There you go.
That's it. We're done. Let's go home.
Bye.
I am
everybody,
home.
You've been listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For those of you tuned in for the first time, thank you very much for joining us. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you play along in the chat room and get active. Don't forget, we do this show every Sunday night. Next Sunday, back to our regular time of 10 o'clock Eastern. But that being said, tomorrow night, right after Raw, it's the Raw post show with Ciroc and people like Lindsay Ward and shit.
It's me and Lindsay joining us as apparently will be one of the most historic brawls in recent memory. Tomorrow night we'll recap it all at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and are you going to talk about Taker getting screwed?
Thursday on the Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Because that's the next plug, right? Yeah, so you might as well.
Check out rockradioshow.com. Check out facebook.com/WTRTheRack and twitter.com/WTRTheRack. And continue with the Rack plug. Check out the Rack Extra we just did for episode 3 of season 2 of Total Divas. There will be no episode this week because, well, there was no Total Divas. But check it out at Wild Talk Radio and rockradioshow.com.
There you go. And eventually Omega will learn to quit playing with his Legos on the air, or at least mute his mic. Saturday, midnight, or as close as they can get to it, another edition of CB Radio, where you'll hear Subway put you on hold for 2 hours.
No joke, he's done that close to on the show. It's weird, wacky, unusual. Yep. It's weird news, strange news, penises, you know, no other. And we told
you... I would rather talk boobs. Thank you.
Last week we told you, a couple weeks ago rather, we told you how you can own a twig, so you never know what we'll talk about on CB Radio. It's weird, wacky, midnight dish. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandmandatus.
Yeah, and of course you can follow Wrestle Talk Radio.
You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. Follow the show, the network rather, at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And on And we're on Instagram, instagram.com/WildTalkRadio if you want to see pictures of my television with wrestling on it.
I don't want to see pictures of your television with wrestling on it. I'd rather see pictures of my car.
Well, then we'll give you a way to use the Instagram account.
Or I want to see pictures of my dartboard that I built and put up on the wall and play darts with.
Then we'll get you up, set up with the Instagram. There you go.
Yeah, and then I'll get I'll put up pictures of stuff like that. And yeah, you know, seeing as Russell Talk Radio has an Instagram account, I'll just take pictures of a whole bunch of different things that you won't have any interest in, like every other Instagram account on the internet.
So follow us on Instagram at Wild Talk Radio. Omega Plug.
See, over on Facebook, you can find all of my stuff at TJ Reviews, but everywhere else, such as YouTube, Twitter, I am TJ Omega, and everything else is at tjomega.org.
I'm sorry, I still get a kick out of that. I did that.
I'm glad you're so amused by it.
Yeah, I know. It seems like really cruel and stuff like that, but it's just, you know, irony makes me chuckle. I apologize.
Mace, plug.
Follow me online at The Macing on Twitter. Don't bother with Facebook, as usual. As I tell people, I don't fucking add you. I don't like you. Fuck off. let's see. I've probably got some games to review at some point. I've got a small pile stacking up here, which I should really get to one day. I might even stream some stuff over the internet. You never know. Keep an eye out on the WTR Facebook group page, where I will announce such things in the future. Quite possibly a Raw Thoughts About Raw column this week. Maybe not, depending on how good the show is. I might get too engrossed into it to actually write. So if that happens, oh well, shit happens. At least there's still Twitter.
There you go. All right, and don't forget, everybody, we're looking forward to having you join us again next Sunday night. Once again, our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, which I do believe is 3 o'clock in the morning in parts of Europe.
10 seconds, Tim.
That being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. See you next Sunday. Brock Lesnar? Are you fucking kidding me?
What?
WildTalkRadio.com.